This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Lewis, Resource Center, and it's also Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. Huffington Post blogger Shirley Mayatan is a Malaysian single mother who resides mostly in the Philippines. Through her personal blog, The Art of Fearless Living, she writes about societal challenges, identity, and much more. Beyond that, she's pursuing the path of a fearless radical optimist by using her fearless voice to truly make a difference in the world. Currently, she is a social impact investor at the Gawakalinga Enchanted Farm and is the co-partner of 5 social enterprises. She's also adopted 10 sons at the farm, and they're affectionately known as the Spartan Sons. Together with her Spartan family, they're redefining the meaning of social entrepreneurship, experiential education from the ground up, and new world success. Very good to be speaking to you, Shirley, that you're here in Malaysia. But how did you end up in the Philippines, like from Malaysia to the Philippines?
Thanks for having me. It's a funny story. I was going through a midlife crisis. I wanted to find more meaning in my life than just waking up, breathing in and out, going shopping, eating fine food. I guess for some people it's life, but for me I wanted something much more. So I thought the best teachers would be the ones who are actually doing the real work on the ground, everyday heroes who are building their communities and helping their communities, but they are not famous. And I wanted it also to be very Asian-centric. So this was in 2009. Mm-hmm. And I traveled to India, Nepal, China, looking for the different everyday heroes that I could find, hoping that they would be my life teacher on different topics, be it generosity, or helping children. And in Malaysia, I met Dr. Hartini, who works with the Chow Kit Kids on women trafficking and rescuing children. That really changed my world. Going to her Chow Kit Kids, I remember the first time, and she was trying to handle a situation. There were 2 kids she was trying to rescue, and they were both already, they were already...
In the trade.
In the trade, yes.
In the sex trade.
Yeah. And they were not more than 8 years old. So that really changed my perspective about life. And I went back home, looked at myself in the mirror, and kept asking, what have you done? What did you do? How have you made a difference to the world, or even just to the people around you? And then... one friend of mine, I think at that time he was working with Morgan Stanley in Singapore, and he said, you've got to look for this Filipino guy, white hair dude who builds houses for the poor. He's the real deal. And I'm like thinking, how do I Google that? White hair dude build houses for the poor.
And then, in the Philippines.
Yeah. And I didn't have any Filipino friends, only Filipino mates.
Okay.
And we don't really talk to mates, right? So I was like searching high and low for this guy. And then finally, another friend, Larry Ng, he had a series in Discovery Channel, I think, Driven. And he was interviewing people like Jackie Chan and a lot of famous stars. And he knew that I was looking for Asian everyday heroes. So he said, and he was attending a party that was thrown by Arthur Day at Sentosa Cove. He said, I think Arthur Tay's partner is a Filipino. I think that should be the most credible source for you because he should know everybody since he's a well-off, affluent Filipino who is well-connected. And by the way, Jackie Chan is also a partner of that business. So when Jackie Chan comes, this Filipino guy will definitely come. And a host of other people. I'm sure someone will know this white-haired dude you're looking for. So that's already 6 months in search. And then went to the party, hung out with Jackie Chan. Have to thank him. Because of him, I met the Filipino guy and his friends. And although they didn't know him personally, the white-haired dude, but they gave me a number of another friend.
Wow.
And she, thankfully, was involved with Gawakalinga at that time. And she said, well, you have to come back to Singapore the following month because Tony Miloto, the founder of Gawat Kalinga,
the white haired guy,
the white haired dude, is speaking at National University of Singapore. So I said, wow, that will be 7 months. Okay, better than nothing, right? It's now or never. So after 7 months, another trip back to Singapore, finally I met him. And I sat through his speech, and he closed his speech by saying, never stop hoping for your country. Never stop caring for your people. Demand greatness from yourself so that you can inspire greatness in all others. And I remember sitting in that room thinking, I never hoped for my country or anybody. Definitely never cared for my people or anyone. And I never demanded anything from myself. So that it was really different from my self-absorbed life at the time.
And I think there's a lot of us in Malaysia who are like that. I mean, we're comfortable, right? So you finally met Papa Tony Miloto, as you call him. And he is the founder of the Gawat Kalinga Enchanted Farm. I like that. GK Enchanted Farm. What is this farm and what does it hope to achieve?
So when Tony Miloto started the Gawat Kalinga NGO itself, that's building houses for the poor, but it's not just building houses for the poor. That is back in the 80s. So it's more than 20 years now.
Yeah.
And we have different models, different NGOs who build houses for the poor. But where GK or Gawat Kalinga, we call them GK, is an affectionate term. GK is different because once they build houses for the poor, they also invest in what we call value formation program that helps the community evolve into a community and bring about the values that what binds us together as a community. And they handhold them and guide them all the way to this very day. So if that community was built many, many years ago, to this day, they still have the community's leaders and caretakers, who takes care of that community.
Right.
So it's an ongoing program, and they at that time, GK felt that building houses for the poor would transform all the slums into communities, and that's where the transformation would take place on the ground. And then crime will be severely reduced. Mm. People will start becoming better citizens. So that was what we call the face of social justice. And that went on. So that is going on even to this very day. So it has evolved to the point that GK has transformed more than 2,500 communities throughout Philippines. More than 1 million lives are being transformed as we speak. And when I first took my first flight to Philippines, Tony Miloto took me to the worst slum in the Philippines. At that time, it was 1 million people living in that area.
Mm.
And police do not even dare. The police, the forces, do not even dare to go in to that area. So it was amazing to see how GK was transforming those lives. And you see the transformation taking real root because you see these people and their children are graduates of colleges. And that's the real transformation. You see people becoming better citizens, men becoming better men, women becoming better women. It's phenomenal. And the next place he took me to was Mindanao. As you know, these are conflict zones. And to me, Mindanao, the visit to Mindanao was the most amazing. My film crew decided to quit. It was a mixture of Filipino and Malaysian. Because going to Mindanao, they were really afraid.
Almost like a death sentence.
Yes. So they said, I'm sorry, we quit. We cannot go. I don't care what insurance you want to pay. We're not going. So I remember that was in July 2009. And I had to quickly scramble and find another crew because I wanted to document all this journey that we were making. And we were lucky. A crew just got back from Afghanistan. So to them, Mindanao is nothing. So they came. And we went to Mindanao, and we went up and down the same highway that a month later had the largest massacre of civilians. Mm. But we visited three communities built by GK, and they were previously in the conflict zone. And when I saw Muslims and Christians living side by side together in the same community, and the children with the hijabs and tudung playing together with the Christian students, you realize this is the kind of peace you want. And for ex-Muslim rebel leaders, the Abu Sayyaf, I met chiefs and whatnot who lay down their guns and weapons to say that, I will not pass on this culture of hatred. Yes, we killed them and they also killed our family. So, but someone has to decide...
To stop.
Because we should pass on a better heritage to our children than violence, hatred and bloodshed. And we should end and not pass on the burden of negativity and conflict to our children. And one of the ladies, Muslim lady, who volunteers for GK, her name is Bailinda. She, to me, is a true warrior princess. She herself was an ex-Abu Sayyaf. At 18, she already led her own army of 300 men. And she, after meeting Tony Miloto and going through GK value formation, sitting through, just trying to find out what these Christian monsters are going to do and brainwash her. That was her thought at that time. And when she went through, she realized, I asked her, I said, what made you want to volunteer for GK, you know? She said, because GK helped me realize that I can be a better Muslim. And this is precisely what it is, isn't it?
Right.
What makes us better human beings? What makes you a better Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu?
Person.
Yes, person. At the end of the day, if something, whatever it is, does not make you a better human being, then that something is what you should question. So she found, today she's an amazing fellow GK sister, and... her story is amazing, and I will always remember her dearly and value her dearly. And whenever we get together, we talk about the times we met, because it was really funny. I was in the van with her. I was in the middle, the Buddhist. Mm. Then she's to my left, the Muslim. Then to my right is the Christian. Mm. And both of them have very opposing paths. Mm. The Christian girl survived, because at 13, her father shielded her with his own body and took 6 bullets, and he died in her place. And Bailinda was the one who survived at 6 because her uncle saved her from the Christian soldiers and, you know, helped her to escape where he took her place in death. And she witnessed that. That's why she was angry and enlisted at 6. Mm. She actually joined the army at 6, yeah. So they should technically hate each other, but because of GK and GK's platform and value formation, they are today the best of friends. Mm. They are each other's godmothers for their daughters. And it's an honor and joy to witness friendship. Even with this horrific past, they can still find peace, friendship, and love.
So I know there's a school for experiential entrepreneurial development. Tell us a little bit more about that. And do you find that it's because of economic situations that has, in a way, resulted in this? Because you're so poor.
Yes.
Right? And when you there's a reason to live. And so that's the reason why perhaps wars will stop.
Yes. I do believe that, because when the GK Enchanted Farm came about was because... GK itself, the NGO, is about nation building, social justice, building houses for the poor. So GK Enchanted Farm is not an NGO, it's an entity for profit, but it creates a social enterprise platform. And that is what we call going into the social artistry phase, whereby now they have roofs over their heads, they do not need to worry about the basic necessities. So, but what do you do? Hmm. How do you make them, after they've become good citizens, how do they become self-sustaining and enterprising? So this is why the GK Enchanted Farm was formed. Hmm. And then the school, the first farm village university in the farm called Seed. It's a school for experiential, entrepreneurial, experimental excellence and ethical development. Yeah, right. It has a lot of ease, but yeah. But we call it Seed because it's about planting seeds of values of entrepreneurship in the kids right after they graduate from high school so that they become job creators and wealth creators, not just job seekers.
Right. Yeah. We'll talk about your daughter and your Spartan sons after this. I'm with Shirley Mayatan. You're listening to Resource Center, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Resource Center's Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. I'm here with Shirley Mayatan, talking about the Gawat Kalinga Enchanted Farm. She's a blogger and writer, and she's a co-partner of five social enterprises at the farm. And she's also adopted 10 boys at the farm. Tell us about the Spartan sons, your Spartan sons. What do they do?
Okay. They, seven of them are actually studying in the Seed University at the farm. They're scholars. All students who are accepted at Seed University in the farm are fully sponsored because in abject poverty, every child deserves a bright future, but not every child gets that chance. And poverty ravages more than just the physical, honestly. So when you cannot even have any access to higher quality education, your chances at life or life's opportunities in particular severely reduced. Mm. So when Seed came about, it gives access to quality education, higher quality education to all these bright poor. Right now, we have about 84 students fully sponsored. So they get free education, they get allowances, they get meals, and they get transportation and all the school materials. So that is tremendous. But how the Spartan Sons came about is that we believe if they could stay in the farm and be part of an intensive training program, the transformation will be expedited. Hmm. So they are actually part of a test group. And we actually open up, Tony Maloto and I open it up to everyone and said that, you know, who is willing from the Seed student, who are willing to come. And it started that eight came from Seed, and then but one dropped out because it was really hard, and now seven are still going through. Now, the three other sons, one of them is 26 years old, but he has stopped schooling at grade six. Mm. He couldn't even finish because his father died and his older brother died. So it's a typical situation, and he had to work. So his mentality and understanding is at that level. So we train him in the chicken enterprise, which I'm invested in, with another wonderful young man named Louis. He's French. So we believe that those who are not academically inclined, we can teach them real skills on the ground. So Felmar is the one who is doing farm management training on the ground, and he's taking care of the chickens. Mm. Then the two other sons are from Mindanao and from the conflict zones. So they are working at their 19. They only managed to finish 2 years of agricultural course in their university in Davao. Same thing, did not have any funds to continue, had to come out to work. One had to be a security guard, and he thought he could help his family, but everything he earned could not even really pay his rent or food, so he had nothing. So Tony Miloto went to GK Davao and recruited them and put them in our one-hectare land model. Mm. So they are both working at our one-hectare land model. So at the farm, we have many social enterprises going on. Some have already taken off. Some are in incubation. Mm. One-hectare land model is part of the incubation stages, those in incubation. And it's basically a model for integrated farming, how to optimize the land and the different crops and livestock so that a farmer can actually start to make a very decent living off their 1 hectare land model. And we will provide all the training, all the materials, and we will be able to support them. So their lives will really change, because as it is, they do not have tools or training. They have a little plot of land and they are just doing very primitive farming, and it's very dependent on the weather. And you know, Philippines have crazy weather sometimes. Yes. So that is also a model that would potentially help a lot of farmers in different provinces throughout the Philippines.
You know, I have to ask this question, when you moved to the Philippines and brought your daughter with you. This, we're not talking Metro Manila or Makati. We're talking out in the
farm.
Yes. What did people have to say? You know, what sort of education is she getting?
Yes, she actually stopped studying in an international school here in KL, one of the most expensive in KL. And she went over to the farm. At first, I mean, she's typical. I mean, people think I'm crazy. I'm sure some who have never visited us think that I'm irresponsible, reckless, and just mad and ruining my daughter's life. And also putting her with 10 boys, young men, and that's like very risky. So, but she was a typical spoiled, entitled little brat. She will say that herself. And when I first told her that she was going to the farm, we fought every single day, even on the plane day when we were flying. But the first time she went there, she was touched by the genuine kindness, because she's never known a community of people to be so genuinely kind and caring. So she thought it was unreal. And the second time, I put her in a summer program at the farm. They have a lot of summer program with different schools around the world send their kids. She went for the summer program, and the first thing she came out of the summer program, the first night I took her out, she said, "Mommy, can I sleep with you?" And she hasn't slept with me since she was 11, and she hasn't called me mommy in like so many years at that time. That was last year. And because she always say, "Hey, you." And she said, I just wanted to spend some private time with my mom. And that summer program changed her. She started to value things. She started to also value her own family, you know, my immediate family. And she was more tolerant of screaming young children, her cousins. And by the time when I adopted the Spartan sons, that was in last August, and I came back and told her that she has now new
brothers,
10 brothers. She was like, "How can you just love strangers? You didn't give birth to them." I said, "You will understand when you come." So she came, and then she said, "Yeah, now I understand." You see, what makes GK different is the values formation program, because they believe that you have to transform people first from the roots, from the ground up. It's, you can have creative, talented people, but if they don't have strong grounding on values, they will just be jerks.
Yeah.
And very mean people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure whether I'm able to say certain words. So I'm trying to
jerk is fine.
Okay.
Jerk is fine.
So
don't go further.
Yeah. So if you have, you know, people who are talented and very capable and they are in power, but they have no values and moral code, then they will do very horrible things.
Yeah. You know, I have the same philosophy. What's the point of all that education?
That's right.
If you don't love your family, right, and you ruin your family. So what's that all for?
Yes. Right? So that's why I really value the GK program and the GK values formation. And the Spartans have a stringent code. One of the stringent vows to be a Spartan is that you do not have a girlfriend or boyfriend until you graduate, because you have to focus on your education and then on your social enterprise that you're working on while in education. See, that's why Seed University at the farm is very different. Their format is that you do 6 hours of study in the classroom, then 3 hours you work on the ground and apply it. So during the first year, you work with the social enterprise that you are parked at. That is called your ongoing internship. But when you graduate, then you go for your gap year, one gap year before you graduate. And that is when you can decide you want to work fully in that social enterprise, or you can start your own. So you can see how we're training social entrepreneurs.
Right. Upon graduation.
Upon graduation. But actually, it's already incepted from the moment you enter seed. So they have, and then the moral value code and Spartan code and the values formation program is embedded in them from the very beginning. Because to qualify at seed, you have to go through 3 months of value formation. If you cannot survive the value formation, you will just, you know, naturally drop out.
And one day the goal is for seed to be open to the public.
Yes, one day.
Right.
One day.
And it'd be a social enterprise as well that funds itself.
Correct.
Okay.
It will be that. And my daughter right now is the first non-sponsored foreign scholar in there.
Right.
So to qualify, that's why I sponsored a few students and also contribute in building the dorm. So that we can open it up to the rest of the Philippines.
Okay. So, and what you're doing right now, how can the public at large support this?
For Malaysians, if you would like to groom your kids into the very best versions of themselves, then send them to the farm for youth camp, get your schools involved.
Right.
And because all the French unis and the big schools in Europe and US, Australia, and Germany sign an MOU with the farm.
So nothing in Malaysia yet?
Except for Garden School.
Okay.
Garden International School. They'll be sending their first batch in June this year. But for the French universities, for example, HEC and ESSEC are like Harvard and Yale. They sign an MOU and they send their university students to do internship. And recently, another French university went further by integrating the program with the farm as part of their course. So it's compulsory for them to come to the farm and do, I think, about 6 months, or it's as short as 1 month and as long as 6 months. And they have to complete it in order to graduate. So there are many models. And then for the public at large, just come to the farm and visit so that you experience the GK way.
Right.
Then you would be able to find how you can make a difference.
And this is something you can find on the website?
Yes.
There's a website. Okay.
Yeah, there's a website. And recently we launched GK Malaysia with Berjaya's Tan Sri Vincent Tan. But that is more focused on building communities and transforming lives from the ground and changing building houses and helping them find livelihood.
Out here in Malaysia.
Yes, that's
okay. Well, it's been very inspiring speaking to you. Hats off to what you're doing. I'll definitely have to visit the farm.
Yes, please.
I've been speaking to, and bring my 13-year-old entitled son. visiting to Shirley Myatan, talking about the Gawat Kalinga Enchanted Farm. This is Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.